Lecture topic, Youth with a Difference, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmid deen wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اللهم لا يدركني زمان لا يتبع فيه العليم ولا يستحيا فيه من الحليم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, amongst the many things against which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam divinely asked Allah protection was an error and a time where divine guidance is ignored and there's no respect, regard or bashfulness that is displayed for the senior members of society. Like it or not, you and I have entered into an era much worse than that. An era that calls for the idolization of immoral celebrities and concurrently condones the mocking of the galaxy of prophets. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, and his words ring in my ears, يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ لَوْ وَجَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ الْمَوْتَ يُبَاعُ لَشْتَرَاهُ. You will find a time where a person will become so desperate, given the crisis, given the immorality, given the obscene nature of society, that he would literally go shop to shop asking people, do you know if anybody is selling death perchance? I want to buy death. أَلَا مَوْتٌ يُبَاعُ فَأَشْتَرِيهِ فَهَذَا الْعَيْشُ مَا لَا خَيْرَ فِيهِ. The poet said, I'm looking for death. What is left of a life? And I said it recently in few of my talks. I am not making this a Muslim issue. I am not making this an Islamic issue. I am making this a moral issue. And I'm inviting anyone and everyone to the party regardless of his faith. What is left in our society if we choose to mock the noblest of Allah's creation and idolize people who by their own confession say that they have been disloyal to their spouses? Allahumma la yudrikni zamanun. For the record, it is occasions like this that we need to seize the opportunity to put on record as Muslims, how we revere the personality of all prophets. And these are ideal opportunities provided we equip ourselves with the correct sciences of Islam. Under the commentary of this verse, وَعَصَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَىٰ. It is a verse of the 16th Juz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses stern words against Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Anyone familiar with Arabic would appreciate the sternness of the word asa and ghawa, but the scholars have explained in great detail that the connotations that apply here are rather different. Be it as it may, under the commentary of this ayah, Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Arabi has written in Ahkamul Quran something very, very thought-provoking. He says, لا يجوز لأحدنا اليوم أن يخبر بذلك عن آدم إلا إذا ذكرناه في قوله تعالى أو قول نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم فأما أن يبتدئ ذلك من قبل نفسه فليس بجائز لنا في آبائنا الأدنين فكيف بجائز لنا في أبينا الأقدم الأكرم النبي الذي عذره الله وتاب عليه. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention and reference to the mistake of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. As Muslims, when we speak of the era of Adam, we restrict ourselves to the vocabulary of the Quran and to the text of the prophetic teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A, we don't make it a dedicated agenda. B, we don't deliberate over the topic. 3, we don't spice it with our own words. Furthermore, he goes on to say, It's not correct for us to use derogatory, inflammatory comments regarding our biological father or our forefather. How dare we blurt? How dare we blurt against the personality of the first human and the greatest Nabi of Allah? So that is the stance of Muslims, and that is the respect we show to the entire galaxy of Anbiya. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. We do not differentiate amongst the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. The time in which we are living, the reality of the matter is, regardless of what a person pursues, every person is searching for some degree of respect and recognition. The phrase might differ, the manifestation might differ, but the common thread that binds every person who is trying to promote himself by virtue of business, by virtue of a skill or anything else, is definitely to gain some degree of respect and momentum in the eyes of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. People are searching for respect by different individuals, different organizations, different movements. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept respect exclusively by Himself. There is an incident mentioned in Ibn Kathir under the tafsir of Surah Luqman, that some people came to the great giant Luqman alayhi salatu was salam, and one particular person started interviewing him. So you know, when you conduct an interview with a celebrity, you want to conduct an interview with a giant, a man prominent in media, a man prominent in the sporting arena. Somebody conducted an interview with Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam. He looked at him and said, Anta Luqman? Are you the Luqman the wise? He said, yes indeed. Yes indeed. Anta Abdu Bani Fulan? Are you the slave of a particular tribe? Yes, without doubt. Anta Ra'il Ghanam? Part of your profile is that you've remained a shepherd for a period of time. Without doubt. Antal Aswad, the narration is Ibn Kathir. Are you the dark-skinned person? He said, Amma Sawadi Fadahir. He said, you can look at my complexion, and yes indeed, I have African origin and I am dark-skinned. Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam answered. Luqman alayhi salam said, brother, get to the point. Malladhi yu'jibuka min amri. What about me impresses you or depresses you? What about me impresses you or depresses you? He said, وَطْعُ النَّاسِ بِصَاتَكْ وَغَشْيُهُمْ بَابَكْ وَرِضَاهُمْ بِقَوْلِكْ. You lack what it takes to make a man a celebrity. You lack what it takes to make a man a hero. Yet the masses are flocking at your door in the multitudes. وَطْعُ النَّاسِ بِصَاتَكْ. People are descending at your door in the thousands. وَغَشْيُهُمْ بَابَكْ. And they swarm you. There is an ocean of people around you. وَرِضَاهُمْ بِقَوْلِكْ. And we have to impose our advices on others and let people die to comply with you. What's the secret? He said, إِنْ صَغَيْتَ إِلَى مَا أَقُولُ كُنْتَ كَذَلِكَ. Oh my young boy, listen to what I have to tell you. And without desiring it, Allah will give you the same fame and recognition. إِن صَغَيْتَ إِلَى مَا أَقُولُ كُنْتَ كَذَلِكَ. Saga in Arabic means to listen attentively. The narration of Tirmidhi, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, كَيْفَ أَنْعُمْ. How can I sit and immerse myself in the luxuries of this world when the angel has taken the trumpet and placed it in his mouth? وَأَصْغَى سَمْعَهُ. And he has stretched an attentive ear waiting for Allah to signal that he must blow this trumpet. Not the vuvuzela, the trumpet. وَأَصْغَى سَمْعَهُ. Today our minds are very programmed by what is around us. It's very programmed. That might be a bit of humor, but it's a reality. I was teaching some children in an institution, in a regular maktab, and then a simple word appeared in the history book, substitute. So it was a class 2, class 3. I said, boys, you know what does substitute mean? Maulana, I know when one player goes off the field, you call a substitute on. I said, you're right, but that's not the only meaning of substitute. I'm saying the mind, the vision, the thought, the expression has become exclusively sports. And I'm not here to condemn or anything. I'm talking of how our minds have been programmed. Recently, I was in the UK. One brother brought it to my attention. He said there was a network that launched their phones. And there was no subscription fee. You were given a free phone. The only thing was you had to accept adverts on it daily. There's nothing more to it. You will pay for your call and you will be given a free phone. But obviously the marketing world appreciates the implications of this year. The only thing you will receive, the vulnerable youth, the susceptible youth, the gullible youth, I will delete it, I will erase it and delete it. But there will be that moment in your life when that youth will be depressed, isolated and suicidal, and he would then be tempted with an advert that would coincide with his depression, and you can run your mind and understand what would happen beyond. إِن صَغَيْتَ إِلَى مَا أَقُولْ كُنْتَ كَذَلِكَ. If you listen to what I have to say, then you will enjoy the same recognition. So Luqman alayhi salam then elaborated, it's in Ibn Kathir, you can read it, and the great detail is mentioned. He said, number one, غَذِّي بِبَصَرِي. غَذِّي بِبَصَرِي. I wish I had it, and I could convey it in that way, but the reality of the matter is the speaker is more in need than the listener. The first thing that Allah has given me, what He has given me, is because I take care of my gaze. Complete control over my vision. The Arabic poet said, كُلُّ الْحَوَادِثِ مَبْدَأُهَا مِنَ النَّظْرِ وَمُعْظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغِرِ الشَّرَرِ. The root cause of every evil is the abuse of sight. And it takes a mere spark to ignite a wildfire. كل الحوادث مبدأها من النظر ومعظم النار من مستصغر الشرر. 2 weeks ago we were gone to Nelspruit for a program, and Sunday morning they took us to the park. So we had a rather unique sight. Everybody who was present said it was their first experience. It was early morning, we read Fajr and then we got into the park, and we barely got in. And we had the amazing sight of 4 lions, males, that were out for a kill. They were literally prowling as lions, as king of the jungle. And we followed behind them for 1 entire hour. And obviously everybody's enjoying and taking pictures, and one, you know, marking his territory and then prowling. And you can see that sternness and that authority and that viciousness. And while we walk in, I'm telling the brothers in the car, you know, the advice of Luqman comes to mind. He told his son, Imshi wara al asad wala tamshi wara al mar'a. Imshi wara al asad wala tamshi wara al mar'a. My son, if you are a victim of circumstances and you have to tag behind a lion, thread cautiously but embark on that journey. But how dare you walk behind a woman? Ya bunayya imshi wara al asad wa la tamshi wara al mar'a. The hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. Nabi alayhi salam told the sahaba, iyyakum wal julus fit turuqat. Do not sit on the pathways. They said, ma lana buddun. O Nabi of Allah, we have no other place to socialize. He said, fa in abaytum illa al majalis. If you have no option but to congregate on the pathway, then discharge the obligation of the pathway. Can there be a more wholesome faith that in addition to advocating the rights of humans and animals, it equally provides us with the rules and the obligations of the pathway? You know, in Canada you see these signs a lot there, stoop and scoop. Meaning if you walk in with your dog, you pick up whatever he drops on the way. Stoop and scoop. O Nabi of Allah, what are the obligations of the pathway? Ghaddul basar, drop your gaze. Kaful adha, remove an obstacle. And I often say, if it's a crime not to move an obstacle, can you imagine what a crime it would be if you become an obstacle? Kaful adha. Amr bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar, advocating good and forbidding evil. We know the famous incident of Salma radiallahu anha, that when she intended migrating from Makkah, initially she was denied. Her son was separated, And it was one long year that had lapsed where her husband had migrated, her son was separated, and in the interim his arm was dislocated. And she said, مَكَثْتُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ سَنَةً. 1 year I cried every day. After 1 year, they pitied my condition and they decided to reunite me with my son. When I was reunited with my son, I seized the opportunity, وَضَعْتُ وَلَدِي فِي حِجْرِي. I put him in my lap. خَرَجْتُ مُتَوَجِّهَةً نَحْوَ الْمَدِينَةِ. And I made my way to Medina. وَمَا مَعِي أَحَدٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَبُنَيَّ هَذَا. And I'm a young woman, I'm traveling. The road from Mecca to Medina is a rather long road. With me, it's the heat, it's the desert, it's my child, we're on camel back. وَمَا إِن بَلَغْتُ التَّنْعِيمِ حَتَّى لَقِيتُ عُثْمَانَ بْنَ طَلْحَ. I barely got to Tan'im and I met the gentleman Uthman ibn Talha, who was a non-Muslim at that time. He said, إِلَىٰ أَيْن يَا بِنْتَ زَادِ الرَّاكِبِ. Her father was known as Zad al-Rakib. He was a very generous person. Where are you off to, sister? I said, I am going to Uridu Zawji bil Medina. My husband is in Medina and it's been a long year. We've been separated. It's been real crisis in my life. So I'm trying to see if I can get back to my husband. مَا مَعَكِ أَحَدٌ. Oh sister, are you traveling alone? When we talk about the fabric of a society, in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu narrates the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, وَيُقَالُ لِلْرَّجُلْ مَا أَعْقَلَهُ وَمَا أَضْرَفَهُ وَمَا أَجْلَدَهُ وَمَا فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ. A time will become, a time will dawn upon you, people will be introduced by saying, what a brilliant man, what an amazing man, what a phenomenal man, mind-boggling, whereas there won't be an iota of iman in his heart. Honesty will become so absent, حَتَّى يُقَالْ أَنَّ فِي بَنِي فُلَانٍ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا. An honest man will stand up in society. People will come to meet him. Brother, I came to meet you. I believe you're honest. It will stand up as such a rare thing. And then he said, وَلَقَدْ أَتَى عَلَيَّ زَمَانٌ مَا أُبَالِي أَيُّكُمْ بَايَعْتُ لَإِنْ كَانَ مُسْلِمًا لَيَرُدَّنَّ عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامُهُ. There was a time I could deal with anyone. If he was a Muslim, I know his conscience of standing before Allah would compel him to be honest with me in his dealings. And if he was a non-Muslim, the society will expose him. So I didn't do my homework when I would enter into a business transaction with anyone. وَالْآنْ لَا أُبَايِعُ إِلَّا فُلَانًا وَفُلَانًا. But that time and that era is long gone. He said, now I'm very selective with whom I deal. Allah forbid, the time has come. Neither the title of Haji nor the title of Alim is sufficient license for you to say, deal with this man. Do a thorough homework on me, on anyone, before you give your daughter or before you enter into any transactions. The sad time has come. The words of Imam Shafi ring in my ears, and I don't know in how many parts of the world I've quoted it. لَمْ يَبْقَ فِي النَّاسِ إِلَّا الْمَكْرُ وَالْمَلَقُ شَوْكٌ إِذَا لَمَسُوا زَهْرٌ إِذَا رَمَقُوا. There's nothing left but deception and delusion. From a distance he looks like a blossoming flower. Get close to him and he is the worst thorn that has ever pricked you in your life. لَمْ يَبْقَ فِي النَّاسِ إِلَّا الْمَكْرُ وَالْمَلَقُ شَوْكٌ إِذَا لَمَسُوا زَهْرٌ إِذَا رَمَقُوا. فَإِنْ دَعَتْكَ الذَّرُورَاتُ لِعُشْرَتِهِمْ فَكُنْ جَحِيمًا لَعَلَّ الشَّوْكَ يَحْتَرِقُوا. You threading and you skating on thin ice. Be conscious on your decisions, what you do. Anyway, Uthman ibn Talha said, are you going alone? She said, yes indeed. He says, no. وَاللَّهِ لَا أَتْرُكُكِ حَتَّى تَبْلُغِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Sister, you will not walk alone. I will leave everything that I have and I will make sure that I take you right into Medina and reunite you with your husband. She then goes on to say, وَاللَّهِ مَا صَحِبْتُ رَجُلًا مِّنَ الْعَرَبِ قَتُّ أَكْرَمَ مِنْهُ وَلَا أَشْرَفُ كَانَ إِذَا بَلَغَ مَنْزِلًا مِّنَ الْمَنَازِلِ يُنِيخُ بَعِيرِي ثُمَّ يَسْتَأْخِرُ عَنِّي حَتَّى إِذَا نَزَلْتُ عَنْ ظَهْرِهِ واستويت على الأرض دنا إليه وحتى عنه رحله واقتاده إلى شجرة وقيده بها. We left from Mecca to Medina. It was a journey of weeks and months. By Allah, I have seen many men. This was the first human I met. I seen many men, this was the first human I met in my life. From Makkah to Medina, the man never set his gaze on me once. What did Luqman say? You want to become a celebrity, my young boy? Ghaddi bi basari. Walk the streets of Durban. Walk your campus with your gaze down and you see what Allah gives you. He said we would get to a location, he would sit the camel down, then he would go at a distance. When I would dismount, he would come close, take it off, remove all the luggage, the baggage, etc. Then take the camel to another tree, let it graze there. ثُمَّ يَتَنَحَّى عَنِّي إِلَى شَجَرَةٍ أُخْرَى فَيَضْتَجِعُ فِي ظِلِّهَا. Then he would excuse himself under the shade of another tree, take rest there, and keep himself away from me. When it would be time to resume, he would come in a manner that I couldn't see him normally. And this is a disbeliever. But look at the fabric of that society. You know, my sisters are here and I don't want to be obscene and I don't want to be immoral. But I'm hearing of things that is literally taking this my sleep away for a person like me who is so weak in Iman. How many of my sisters, and I've got a call just 2 weeks ago. Look at the deception, the delusion, the smoke screening of the devil. And forgive me, I hope I can be modest and conduct myself within the parameters of respect and dignity. The deception of many a girl, under the pretext of preserving her virginity, she still indulges in illicit relation, and this has come to me through from very reliable sources with a painful heart. He says, Maulana, what do I tell you? And he breaks down. And I say, what's it? And he breaks down. He says, our sisters are indulging in illicit relation, but to preserve their virginity, they are opting for measures which is forbidden for a man to do with his own wife, if you may understand my connotations, so that they can claim that they are still protected their virginity. So they are opting for measures that are haram with one's own spouse. And I don't need to say anything further. Measures that are forbidden with one's own spouse to appease themselves that they have not been abused or touched by any person. He says, Umm Salma says, it continued like this every day until we came to Medina. Hatta idha balagna al-Madina, when we got to Medina, he said, Zawjuki fi hadhihi al-qarya, udkhuliha ala barakatillah. Sister, I think that's the locality. And yes, you may enter happily and be reunited with your husband. Umm Salma said, he didn't wait for an acknowledgement. He did not wait for credit. He did not set a gaze on me. There was no communication. Thumma raja'a ila Makkah. He left me and he returned. You think an action like this will go unrewarded in the eyes of Allah? Inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. It is the declaration of the Quran. Nothing goes unrewarded. Allah privileged him with iman. He seen the conquest of Makkah. And the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam put the keys of the Kaaba in his hand and said, Uthman, this key will remain with you and your descendants and your progeny till Qiyamah. I must say to you, my sister, in Bayanul Quran in Surah Ahzab, I read this and it made my hair stand on ends. Under this verse, Ya Nisa al-Nabiyyi lastunnaka ahadim minan nisa in ittaqaytunna fala takhda'na bilqawl. An amazing deduction and an amazing angle and dimension of this particular verse in Bayanul Quran. The scholars can exploit and unpack it and research it. The author and the Mufassir writes, this verse we commonly translate and say to the woman, when speaking to strange men, do not sweeten your voice. It's written there that that's not the intended intention of this ayah. Read it in Bayanul Quran. And the Mufassir writes that that goes without saying. Don't sweeten your voice when speaking to a strange man. It's a basic fact. It goes without saying. Rather, the implication of this ayah is, do not speak in your natural voice when speaking to strange men. Do not speak in your natural voice, because Allah has instilled an attraction in your voice. And the immoral world has exploited the voice of a woman. So there is telephonic zina, and there is zina in every way that is happening. And in Madarik al-Tanzil it is written, قَوْلًا حَسَنًا مَعَ كَوْنِهِ خَشِنًا. Let the word be polite, my sister, but let not the tone be polite. Let the speech be polite, but let not the tone be inviting. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. So what did Luqman alayhi salam say? The honor Allah gave me, number one, غَضِّي بِبَصَرِي, to take care of my gaze. That's the first thing. Allah instilled it in all of us. I'm not going into too much detail. There's many things that he has mentioned. The second thing he says, كَفِّي لِسَانِي, to take control over my tongue. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has mentioned in his Kitab al-Zuhud of one tabi'i, he said, عَالَجْتُ لِسَانِي 20 عَامًا قَبْلَ أَن يَسْتَقِيمَ لِي. I worked in discipline in my tongue for 20 years. Thereafter I achieved some discipline out of it. We want to achieve it overnight. For 20 years it was a concerted effort. Somebody comes, mashallah, beautiful empire. Well, brother, it didn't just end up. Humble beginnings. If I tell you my story, is a long story. To grow this empire, to mature, to evolve, to reach the six zeros, as they say, it took a long way. عَلَجْتُ لِسَانِي 20 عَامًا قَبْلَ أَن يَسْتَقِيمَ لِي. Umar ibn Khattab used to say, لَا يُعْجِبُكُم مِّنَ الرَّجُلِ طَنْطَنَتُهُ بِالْلَّيْلِ. Do not fall prey to the deception of a man who worships Allah by night only as a sufficient reflection and testimony of his piety. You see him getting up by night. لَا يُعْجِبُكُم مِّنَ الرَّجُلِ طَنْطَنَتُهُ بِالْلَّيْلِ. He's crying, he's turning out to Allah. It's brilliant, it's meritorious, it's superb. But that is not the be-all and the end-all of piety. وَلَكِنَّ الرَّجُلْ مَنْ كَفَّ عَنْ أَعْرَاضِ النَّاسِ. وَلَكِنَّ الرَّجُلْ مَنْ كَفَّ عَنْ أَعْرَاضِ النَّاسِ. But the one who can discipline his tongue and never abuse or insult any person, he is a man, he is a human. Wherever Allah exhorts us in the Quran to achieve anything, Allah provides us with a mechanism to institute it. By way of example, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah. So how do we achieve it? وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Reflect on your preparations for Qiyamah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah. Oh Allah, how do I fear you? وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Associate with the truthful. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah. Oh Allah, how do I fear you? وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Learn to speak correctly. Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dahlawi rahmatullah alayhi, under this ayah, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ, has given such an amazing and all-embracing and encompassing translation. He says that if you learn to discipline your tongue, in that lies the salvation, and it's the formula of prosperity in both the worlds. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. This ayah, the circumstances that prompted its revelation, Sayyidina Umar had an altercation with a disbeliever, and it became a bit heated and ugly. And in that Sayyidina Umar raised his voice, and Allah revealed the verse that when you be polite even with disbelievers. Harshness of speech, there's no room for it in Islam. So number one, غَذِّي بِبَصَرِي, to take care of my gaze. Number two, كَفِّي لِسَانِي, to take control of my tongue. Number three, عِفَّةَ طَعْمَتِي, whatever I eat, I ensure that it is pure, it is halal, it is wholesome. Allah speaks about true youth in the Quran who slept for 3 centuries. Now many youth pop a pill to have a sleep and to be high and to be excited. They slept, Allah gave them a divine sleep for 3 centuries. And the Quran uses a very amazing phrase. This is perhaps scholars would appreciate it better. Allah says, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 years وَازْدَادُوا 9. They slept for 300 years and an additional 9 years. The Mufassirin write, the reason why Allah adopted this explanation is an indication to the different calculations according to the solar and the lunar system. So Allah did not say 309 years, Allah said 300 years, وَزْدَادُ تِسْعَى, and they added on another 9. Now if you're familiar, you would know that on every one century, by the solar calculations, it is 3 added by the lunar system. So the phrase of the Quran is so all-encompassing that it makes subtle references to either calculations, whether you choose to calculate their stay by the solar or the lunar system. The text of the Quran has covered it both. When they awaken after 3 centuries, you can imagine hunger after 3 centuries. فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. And youngsters, and they had money with them. He said, folks, go get some food here, but whatever you do, make sure you bring halal food. Imagine if that's the concern of a young man. Whatever happens, it's got to be halal. Today, whatever it is, it's got to be tasty. It's got to be palatable. It's got to be scrumptious. And unfortunately, for many people, it is only pork and wine that is forbidden. Everything else is halal. If you travel in the world, it is amazing to understand how many a religious conscious person would only consider alcohol and pork forbidden, and besides that, everything is halal. You know, it reminds me of a latifa in the Kitab al-Mustatraf fi kulli fannin mustadraf under Tahrim al-Khamr. There is an incident on page 527. It's something amazing to read. They say there was the so-called, you can read it there, it's mentioned under Tahrim al-Khamr. There was the so-called scholar and a non-Muslim traveling, Nasrani and a Muhaddith. فَصَبَّ النَّصْرَانِيُّ خَمْرًا. So the Nasrani poured alcohol into a vessel. فَشَرِبَ الْمُحَدِّثُ. So this so-called scholar, he drank it very calmly and confidently. So the non-Muslim said, you know what, you're a cleric, you're a religious person, that's alcohol, that's wine, that's forbidden for you, isn't you? You shouldn't be drinking this here. So he said, who told you it's alcohol? He said, اشْتَرَاهَا غُلَامِ عَنْ يَهُودِيٍ وَحَلَفَ أَنَّهَا خَمْرٌ. My slave bought it, and he bought it from a Yahudi, and he took an oath that this is alcohol, I'm telling you this is alcohol. He said, نَحْنُ أَصْحَابُ الْحَدِيثِ نُضَعِّفُ مِثْلَ سُفْيَانِ بْنِ عُيَيْنَةِ وَيَزِيدِ بْنِ هَارُونَ فَكَيْفَ نُصَدِّقُ نَصْرَانِيًّا عَنْ غُلَامِهِ عَنْ يَهُودِيٍ وَاللَّهِ مَا شَرِبْتُهُ إِلَّا لِضُعْفِ الْأَسْنَادِ. You know, today we look for loopholes to appease ourselves. He says, there's a science in hadith where you do, you know, you critically analyze the profile of the narrators. So we don't even pass people like Yazid ibn Harun because they don't fit the profile to narrate. So this is a weak narration. You told me and you heard from your slave and he heard from a Yahudi. It's not authentic. So that means it's permissible. There is a new fitna that has raised its head in the ummah. If it's in Bukhari, it's in Deen. If it's not in Bukhari, it's not in Deen. Imam Bukhari himself said, مَا أَوْرَدْتُ فِي كِتَابِي هَذَا صَحِيحٌ وَلَا أَقُولُ أَنَّمَا تَرَكْتُ ضَعِيفٌ. Whatever I have compiled here is authentic, I can vow for it. I'm not suggesting otherwise that what's not here is unauthentic. I'm not suggesting otherwise. عِفَّةَ طَعْمَتِي. There is that beautiful lengthy discussion that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had with Nabi alayhi salam. 10 questions he asked. And in that one question he asked, Ya Rasulullah, مَاذَا أَصْنَعُ لِنَجَاتِ نَفْسِي. O Nabi of Allah, what can I do for the salvation of myself? Nabi alayhi salam said, Ali, two things. كُلْ حَلَالًا وَقُلْ صِدْقًا. Kul halalan wa kul sidqan. Ali, utter that which is true and eat that which is pure. You walk with me in Jannat. So that's the third thing. Iffata ta'mi. Number 4, hifzi farji. I protect my private organs. The hadith of Bukhari, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah enter into a locality. Malikum min al muluk aw jabbarum min al jababira. There is a tyrant ruler there. If a man is traveling with his wife, he abducts that woman, satisfies his lust, and then he would let her go. Obviously, this is the consort of a Nabi. This is a consort of a Nabi. So she makes a dua to Allah. Allahumma in kuntu amantu bik. اللهم إن كنت آمنت بك وبرسولك وأحسنت فرجي إلا على زوجي فلا تسلط علي هذا الكافر. Oh my Allah, you know I brought iman on you and your Nabi, and I have displayed loyalty and fidelity to my spouse in this relation. You know I have not given access to any male other than my husband over myself. I ask you through the medium and through the agency of the loyalty that I have displayed in this marriage to my husband, لا تسلط علي هذا الكافر, let not this disbeliever come close to me. She made this dua and went. My sister, if you are honest and you are loyal, and at times you're a victim that you have to come out in the outside world, wallah, if you leave with this dua and this conviction, nobody would dare cast a gaze on you. But I'm afraid today the time has come. La'anallahu an-nadhira wal-manzur ilayh. The one who's deliberately casting his gaze and glance, and the one who's promoting himself, the one who's promoting herself or projecting herself so that she can become a victim of glances. You know, they had the tribute recently and it's still continuing, and they call it Men of Real Excellence, M-O-R-E. Like they had the WOW tribute, Woman of Wonder. So one woman said it on a humorous side, but it left me thinking, Men of Real Excellence or Men of Roman Eyes? Men of Real Excellence or Men of Roman Eyes? Each one must decide what is his situation. When she walks in by that king, by his evil, wicked, nasty agenda, he stretches his hand, but it becomes paralyzed. I said this and let me repeat it. I was given a talk at one of the universities in our country, and I mentioned this, and there were young brothers and girls. And after the talk was over, there was a sister that said, Sheikh, I have to speak with you. And we moved to the side, there were other brothers, she came there and she started crying. And I said, calm down and, you know, carry yourself, what's the matter? And she said, but why wouldn't the same apply to me? And she broke down and she said, I've been raped and I've been abused. I said, sister, I won't take the courage to decide why. Where were you traveling? Why were you traveling alone? What was the desperation? That itself should answer. My deepest sympathy is with you. But let's face reality. He then withdraws his hand. Again he's tempted. He stretches it for a second time. Again it becomes paralyzed. Three times in the end he realizes that this woman is amazing. And that's when he gave Hajar alayhi salam as a gift to Ibrahim. He could not believe the profound caliber of this woman. Three times he advanced, Hifdi bi farji, to protect my private organs. In Madarik al-Tanzeel, there is a narration that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taking the pledge from the woman, and Sayyidina Umar was communicating his sentiments on Mount Safa. يا أيها النبي إذا جاءك المؤمنات يبايعنك على أن لا يشركن بالله شيئا ولا يسرقن ولا يزنين ولا يقتلن أولادهن. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the women come and they pledge their allegiance, number one, لا يشركن بالله شيئا, they will not ascribe partners. ولا يسرقن, they will not commit the act of theft. So from behind a veil, a woman speaks and she says, Inna Aba Sufyan Rajulun Shahihun Wa Inni Asabtu Min Malihi. O Nabi of Allah, you said we mustn't steal. My husband, unfortunately, you know what, he's tough and tight with money. His first is closed. So to be honest, now and then I draw from his wallet. And in that she said, my husband Abu Sufyan. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Innaki Lahindun. Okay, is that Hind speaking to me from behind the curtain? She said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, fa'fu amman salaf, fa'fu amma salaf. I don't have a face to come before you. I know the pain and the trauma I have caused you. Apologies for what has passed. Can you close that chapter and move on? And can we discuss the issue at hand? And the narration goes on, Abu Sufyan najaza and says, ma asabti fahuwa laki halal. Don't carry on. What you took now, it's over and finished. It's halal for you. Don't worry about it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam smiled. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you take in moderation, within reason, then it is permissible. Then Nabi alayhi sallam goes on to say, وَلَا يَزْنِينَ. And do all of you agree that you will never commit zina? Hind is embracing Islam. She says, أَوَتَزْنِي الْحُرَّةِ.
Nabiullah, you're saying we must not make zina. Is it possible for a woman to stoop so low and make zina?
You know the words of Marana Awul Hasan Ali Nadwi ring in my ears, Allah fill his qabr with noor. He used to say, Musalman tu girte girte itna gir gaya ke Allah ki kasam ab girne ki jagah nahi rahi. Oh Muslim, you have fallen so low. I'm sorry to say there's no more place to fall. By Allah in his house, I have been invited to call and deal with cases in the Muslim community of incest. I told the sister, it will give me time to get my balance and my composure right, then I will phone you back. She says, I walked in, I found my 20-year-old daughter in an intimate position with my husband. Can a woman make zina? حفظي بفرجي. In Al-Kabair on page 54, Ibn Zayd, أحد أئمة التفسير, I read it there. He used to say, one of the worst torment of the people of hell will be, إِنَّهُ لَيُؤْذِي أَهْلُ النَّارِ رِيحُ فُرُوجِ فُرُوجِ الزُّنَاتِ. He said, the dwellers of hell will be common that they will be in hell, but they will want to keep their distance from adulterers and people who committed zina. They would say to them, you know what, we are separate in hell, you folks keep away. The foul smell that emits from your private organs only compounds our agony here. The dwellers of hell, read Al-Kabair, page 54. And then there is a narration mentioned there. Nabi alayhi salam said, مَا مِن ذَنْبٍ بَعْدَ الشِّرْكِ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِن نُطْفَةٍ وَضَعَهَا رَجُلٌ فِي رَحْمِ لَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ. There can be no greater crime in the eyes of Allah after ascribing partners unto Allah than for a male to deposit his fluid into a strange woman's womb. حِفْضِي بِفَرْجِي. What's the fourth thing Luqman alayhi salam said? To protect. Look at, we know we speak of Sayyidina Uthman, he was a very modest man. In one kitab I read, Uthman, it's a very long incident, Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say, Allah gave me 10 privileges, nobody has it. And amongst the 10 things, one is he said, مَا وَضَعْتُ يَمِينِي عَلَى فَرْجِي مُنْذُ بَايَعْتُ بِهَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. From the time I put my hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the day I died, as a mark of respect, I never put that hand on my private organ. I'm saying to you, my young boy, you've kissed the Quran, you've kissed the Kaaba, you've kissed your mother. Do you still want to put that lips in haram place? I had a young boy 2 weeks ago came to me crying. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I said, speak if you're comfortable, my brother. If not, then ustur ala nafsik wa la tukhbiranna ahad. Take care of yourself and repent in seclusion. He said, I went to a up-class club on a Saturday night. And if I add, I'll cry more. He had the Quran in his heart. 2 weeks ago. I got hooked up with a Muslim girl. And unfortunately, we got intimate in the club. I said, but, how could you, I couldn't relate and identify. And unfortunately, the whole night went. Help me, what do I do with myself? Ya Allah, what has happened to this ummah? Hifdhi bi farji, to protect my private organs. That's the advice of Sayyidina Luqman, by virtue of which Allah gave him this honor. Then, takrimati daifi. Another quality that Allah has given me, I take special care of my guest. I take special care of my guest. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Under this ayah in Madarik al-Tanzeel, there is an amazing incident written. Abu Zayd says, قَالَ لِي رَجُلٌ قَالَ لِي شَابٌ. Read the narration. قَالَ لِي شَابٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَلْخ. Once upon a time, what were the pearls of wisdom that the youth of this ummah was articulating? He says, a young boy from Balkh one day came to me, he said, Ya Aba Zayd, مَا الزُّهْدُ عِنْدَكُمْ.
Tell me, what's the definition of piety by your standard? And what is the definition of generosity by your standard? So I said, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When we have, we consume. When we don't have, we persevere. He said, no offense, هَكَذَا عِنْدَنَا كِلَابُ بَلْخ. هَكَذَا عِنْدَنَا كِلَابُ بَلْخ. No offense to you. That which you consider as piety, our dogs are the same like you people. When they have, they eat. When they don't have, they make sabr. I read this, there was a pain within me. He equated the dogs of his town to those pious people. Allah forbid, we don't even have what the dogs have. When we don't have, can we persevere? Taken every child today sitting in the kitchen, yelling at his mother, the food has been prepared, that 5 minutes is too much for him to wait. What's going to happen to this generation? I remember I was sitting in California in one masjid in Fremont. It was the month of Ramadan. After I completed my lecture, two youngsters came, male and female brother, you know, husband and wife. And they had some marital discord and altercation. Tried to explain to them, the boy had his mind, the sister was crying for her dowry and all the other fake promises that the boy had made. As he leaves, she says, Sheikh, I'm promising you I'm suicidal and I'm going to commit suicide. I said, sister, take care of yourself. This is life. This is the reality of life. I'm saying, has the challenges of life intensified or have we weakened that over every second thing it's suicides? Read this, the statistics of how many females attempt suicide. They say pro rata more males perpetrate it, but more women attempt it. Women are prone to pop pills, boys will go the more vigorous way and the more vicious way. These are realities within our community. So I said, okay, then mazzuhdu indakum, you tell me what's the definition of piety. He said, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا آثَرْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. The day we have, that day the entire community is invited home. The day we have, everybody comes home. In Surah Haqqah, Allah speaks about the disbeliever. Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا يَحُذُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. He never brought iman on Allah and he never encouraged the feeding of poor people. So what is the consequences and the repercussion? خُذُوهُ nab him. فَغُلُّوهُ tie a yoke around him. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا أَيْتُولُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُ. Then take a chain, the length of which is 70 cubits. The narration of Tanbihul Ghafilin Sifatul Nar. لَوْ أَنَّ سِلْسِلَةً مِنَ السِّلْسِلَةِ الَّتِي ذَكَرَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ وُضِعَ عَلَى جَبَلْ لَذَابَ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْأَرْضَ السَّابِعَةِ. If a cubit of the chain which the Quran speaks about has to be placed on any mountain, the heat that it will give off is so intense, it will penetrate to the seventh earth. He will be shackled in a chain with that intensity of heat, the length of which would be 70 cubits. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُ. Shackle him. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, in the tafsir is mentioned under this ayah, كَانَ يَحُذُّ إِمْرَأَتَهُ عَلَى تَكْثِيرِ الْمَرَقِ وَكَانَ يَقُولُ خَلَعْنَا نِصْفَ السِّلْسِلَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَلْنَخْلَعْ نِصْفَ الْبَاقِي بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Allah said, he will be shackled for two reasons. No iman, no charity. Abu Darda heard this, he came home, he said, my wife, we have unshackled ourselves proportionate to the faith. Let's unshackle ourselves by giving charity also. You and I are not charitable, but those in the forces of evil are charitable. Surah Muhammad, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالشَّاقُّ الرَّسُولِ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.